Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Well, happy Father's Day. And I want to get into our message right now. And it's continuing on in the pandemic series. You know, this series has been an amazing thing for me. It's probably one of the first series ever that I've ever preached in. You know, and I've been preaching for 24 years, 25 years almost. But it's one of the first series where God has spoken to me every single week specifically about what it is that he wants me to share. I mean, it blows me away. He just gives me the words. It's not even something that I have to struggle with. God just downloads these messages to me. So I really pray that you've been blessed by the messages so far. And it's taken me in all different directions of learning and study. But today is actually, that's what the message is called. Today. And what it is about the spirit of the age that we live in. So I'm just going to pray one more time that, Lord, you would bless me once again to be able to communicate your message to your people in a way that they would be able to not only hear and understand and absorb, but also that it would stir them to action. My God, I pray, be glorified. And Jesus, may we live in a way that gives you a reward for your sacrifice. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 1 through verse 5. And it's about the end times. And he starts off like this. He says, you should know this, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than love God. They will act religious, but will reject the power that could make them godly. And then he says this, stay away from people like that. You know, we're living in the last days. Let that sink in a little bit. Some people will say, well, we've been living in the last days for 2,000 years. What do you say about that? I say, yeah, that's right. We've been living in the last days for 2,000 years, but check it out. If they thought they were in the last days then, how much closer are we to the end now? You have to understand that after 2,000 years of this, what they call the church age, this is the church age, theologically, biblically, historically. We've been living in the church age for the last 2,000 years. From the events around the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus to the birth of the church at Pentecost, we've been living in this age, and we're here today. And watch this, things are shifting quicker than ever in the world that we're living in. But for all of our technology, for all of our advances in science and the increases of knowledge, things are not really getting any better. I don't know if you've really understood this. A lot of Christians don't understand this, and people that don't know Christ definitely don't understand this. But the Bible has always said that things would go all the way downhill until finally there would be almost a complete acceptance of a leader and a governmental system that would be fully opposed to Christ. You know, the Bible has always said that everyone on this planet will one day bow their knee to a Christ. And if it's not Jesus Christ, then it's going to be the Antichrist. But, you know, please understand, there is no middle ground in this going forward. It's one or the other. There's no one going to slip through the cracks and slip through the net. You will either bow your knee to Christ Jesus, or you'll bow your knee to the opponent of Christ, the Antichrist. It's a heavy thing. And the sad thing is that many people choose him against Christ. They won't choose to follow Christ now when they have every opportunity to do so, but they will follow the false Christ later on. This world leader, the one that's coming, the one the Bible speaks about, the one who is against Christ, the Antichrist, is called in the Bible the lawless one. And it says that there's a spirit of lawlessness that is already at work in the world that we live in right now. Check out what Paul the Apostle said to one of the churches about this man of lawlessness and this spirit that's already operating in the world that we are in today. It's active. And if you look around closely enough, you're going to see it and you'll recognize this thing for what it is. To the church in Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul speaks about this. He says this lawlessness is already at work secretly. And it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. That's important. It says, then the man of lawlessness will be revealed. But the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. That's speaking about the second coming when Jesus comes upon the earth. You know, there's another one where it speaks about he comes in the air. And then there's one that says that he comes and stands upon the earth. But when he comes and he stands upon the earth, then he's going to smash that Antichrist to pieces. But watch what happens before this. It says this man of lawlessness will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. Fake stuff, maybe even virtual stuff. Come on now. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived and they will believe these lies. You remember when the children of Israel back in the Old Testament wanted to come out of bondage in Egypt, the Pharaoh, he wouldn't let them come. And the Bible says that God hardened his heart. You know, you have to understand what that means. It doesn't mean that God forced him to make any evil decisions. It means that his heart was already had the consistency of doing that evil, and God just then allowed the process to speed up. It's like concrete. Concrete's already concrete. But you can make concrete harden quicker if you blow air on it. And sometimes God, these people that are out there that hate God, that oppose God, that don't want anything to do with God, that mock God, there's a deception that is over them that the Lord allows to keep them going down that path because they refuse. This is a volitional thing. It's an act of will. You know, I was watching a thing on YouTube where there was a godly man in a debate against an atheist. And the atheist said, you know what, at the end of the day, he says, it's not that I don't believe there could be a God. I don't want there to be a God. I don't want there to be a God. And he really revealed, you know, his heart. There's people out there that don't want there to be a God. They don't want to submit to a God. They don't want to follow his rules. They don't want to follow his laws. They want to live lawless. Are you with me? And then it says the last thing, they'll believe these lies, then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. Ain't that heavy? How heavy is that? How heavy is that, that there are people out there in the world today? There is a spirit of that lawlessness in the world today, and people love it and embrace it. Now, that's a view of the near future, and it's even beginning today, and it describes a time when there is nothing godly involved in the leadership of the world. At least today there are people that pray. At least today there are people that understand objective laws. But what about when there's none of that? At least now we have objective laws that people agree upon about murder and about certain rights. Yeah, we don't always see it. We know that there's injustice everywhere. We've seen that highlighted through this Black Lives Matter campaign. We've seen it highlighted in different areas through this pandemic. We see it highlighted. But the fact is that there are laws. It's just that the human heart comes against them, fights against them. You know, there are anti-racism laws that are in the statute. They are in the legal system. They don't have to be put there. They're already there. But you know what? People's hearts don't follow them. That's the key. Because there is a spirit of lawlessness that is in this age. And it's working. It's working. But you know, there's a term in philosophy. When I was studying about this, there's a term in philosophy. And it's called a Geist. A Geist. G-E-I-S-T, Geist. Now that's a word that you don't hear a lot, but it's a German concept, a German philosophical concept, and it's similar to what we call in English a spirit, small s spirit, a Geist. And it refers to the cultural phenomenon of a group or of an age. There's one that is the spirit of the world called the Weltgeist. Then there's one, the Volksgeist, which is the spirit of a nation or a people. You know, we see that in different times that different nations have a certain spirit about them. That's the Volksgeist. It's a spirit. It's a cultural phenomenon. But then we see this word Zeitgeist. Zeitgeist. And the Zeitgeist is the spirit of a whole age in history. And it focuses on that cultural phenomenon that becomes epidemic and even pandemic in the world that we live in. There's even a movie about it, a documentary about it. There is a New Age movie that speaks against Christ and the church. And it's you know, it's ridiculous, some of the stuff that it says. But here's the thing, that spirit is out there. It's no coincidence that this word and this idea uses the idea of the word spirit. Because that is who and what is behind everything that happens in the world. And if it's not the Holy Spirit, then what spirit is it? My question is, if it's not God's spirit at work, and last week I spoke about the bigger picture, about there's two opposing forces, and they're opposing, but they're not equal. There's God and there's Satan. There's God, the creator, and there is the created being, Satan, and his minions, his rebellious minions. And behind everything, there is this cosmic war that's taking place. But if there is a spirit of the age, if it's not the Holy Spirit of God, what spirit is at work? One side, we have the creator God of the universe with his son, Jesus Christ, at his side. And you know, it's important that Jesus Christ is at his side, because Jesus became a human. Before, in the eternal realms, in all of these extra dimensions beyond our space-time reality, it was celestial beings. They were the only ones that were there. But now Jesus became a human. He was fully God and fully man. And when he ascended back to the Father, when he went back into that dimension, he went back as a human. So humanity is represented in eternity now. That's what gives us the hope of the resurrection, that one day we are going to be able to be in that dimension as well. He is there. God is there. And opposing him is one of those celestial created beings known to us as Satan. That spiritual being, and that word is a job description. In Hebrew it's Hasatan. And it means the Satan, the adversary, the opponent, the one that opposes. The devil, the accuser, the dragon. You know, he has all of these different titles that speak about him and describe him, but he is in constant rebellion against God. And he has been behind every period of chaos that the world has ever seen. And I'll tell you this right now, I have no doubt whatsoever that his influence has been working all through this pandemic season. And he's getting ready right now, once again, to stir up the power hungry and the rebellious and the selfish. And he's getting ready to stir them up in the world for the next move that he's going to make against God. You watch out. And this is how it works. Have you ever heard a story of the frog in the kettle? There's an old story about a frog in a kettle, and it goes something like this. That if you put a frog in a container full of boiling water, the frog's just going to jump out. It's not stupid, right? But on the other hand, this is how the story goes. If you put a frog in cold water, and then you start the temperature boiling, over time, as it gradually heats up, the frog just accommodates it. It acclimatizes itself to it until it's too late and it boils to death. And the idea is that some things can quickly just creep over us if we're not careful. But watch this. The reason why that would work is frogs are like all amphibians, are cold-blooded. I don't know about you, but I've known some cold-blooded people. Huh? But frogs are cold-blooded, and this is what that means. It means they have no internal structure or apparatus that keeps them warm. So therefore, they're at the mercy of their environment because their body temperature depends on the temperature of their environment. And it's that internal lack. That's the reason why the frog in the kettle allowed itself to be boiled to death. Now, as an actual experiment, it'll probably never work, amen, because frogs ain't that stupid. But as a metaphor for the spirit of the age and how it creeps over people, it's brilliant. Because these forces can gradually take over. And if you have no internal apparatus, if you have no internal structure that enables you to know who you are and what you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do, then you're going to be at the mercy of everything around you telling you what you should be, telling you what you should do, what you should buy, what you should wear, what you should look like, what you can and can't say. Come on now. All of those environmental factors are going to be the ones that drive your life. And they'll dominate you. If you have no internal structure that is able to deal with that. And the thing is this. This is not even for people that are ungodly. This is for people that come to church. Because you can even be religious on the outside. You can have a lifestyle change. But if you have no real relationship with Jesus on the inside, if there's been no life exchange, then you're still, even though you're there saying that you're a believer, saying you go to church, every little wind that blows around you, you're going to be subject to that. And you're going to end up being dominated by the forces and the spirits of the age. This can even creep into church, man. That's why it's so important that you have that inner structure, that inner life, that devotional life, that life of Christ living in you. Then there's a power. Then you don't need anyone else to tell you what you can and can't do. Listen, the world around us tells us right now the church is irrelevant. They don't care about church. They want to do away with church if they can. But I want to let you know right now, the church is here for a reason. You know, you can end up, if you ain't got that structure inside of you, man, you can end up looking and sounding and acting so like the world around you, that in seeking to be relevant, you just become irrelevant. They don't even care. They don't need to know about your God and about your Christ. Because why? You're just living the same way they're living. So why do I need to do what you do to be able to then do what I do anyway? You have to be so careful. Otherwise, you can end up falling victim to the spirit around you and then be dominated by it. And then you have to understand that there are agendas, this spirit of lawlessness, this spirit of the age. There are people that are operating with this. The power hungry. You know, power corrupts people, man. Power, the seeking after power. And the power hungry have tactics in this. What they want to do is they want to get as many people as possible on the same thing at the same time. If they can start to build a momentum for their agenda, then all of a sudden there's a roller coaster, a snowball, a rolling effect. It begins to grow and it begins to build. Are you with me? And here's the thing. It might start as an idea and that's good, but whenever you attach emotion to information, that's when it sticks. And if they can not only get people to think about an idea, but to begin to feel it. When people start feeling it, when the emotions are high, when the emotions are there. If they can start to feel it, then all of a sudden that momentum begins to build. And it happens for positive things and it happens for negative things. We're seeing a positive effect where people are standing up against injustice right now with Black Lives. But how many of you know there are other injustices that people are not feeling right now? What about Yemen? Millions of people dying in Yemen. No one's feeling that one. What about other injustices? What about the sex trade? Sex trafficking? You know, there are so many. But you've seen the power of when people get an idea and then it moves to their heart and how that moves them. And if they can do that negatively as well, all of a sudden, man, wow, their agenda is motoring. And here's the thing. For 1900 years of this church age, things moved at the speed of a horse. You think about it. You know, you used to go by horse, horseback, carriage, pulled by horses, right up until the mid-1800s. But then for the last 150 years, things have just began to speed up. All of a sudden there was locomotives, there were steam trains, there were steam carts, then there was the combustion engine, then there was piloted flight. Now all of a sudden they're sending rockets to the moon, rockets to Mars. And it's no longer just the speed of a horse that information and news can get around the world. Now it's at the speed of your broadband. And I tell you what, in my house, our broadband is slow. We just moved into a house. There ain't no fiber. It's just like, might as well be the speed of a horse. How many of you can feel me right now? Some of you are glitching even now. Hallelujah. Huh? But I want to let you know, the speed of broadband can take things out, bam, straight around the world all at the same time. So you get an idea and you start to push it and you start to motivate people to feel about something and it can start to catch all over the place. News now, ideas now, move at the speed of your Wi-Fi. You know, social media in all of its platforms is used by 3.2 billion people around the world. That's half, almost half the amount of people on the face of this planet are using social media. Check that out. One in two people have access to it and utilize one of the many platforms. You know, TikTok, you know, Instagram, you know, doing the boomerang. Hello. Facebook, they tell me Facebook's for old people. Instagram is for middle-aged kind of people that still think they're cool. But TikTok is for the young ones now. Are you with me? But whatever it is, some of you still got MySpace. Hello. Come on now, you ain't caught up yet. You're still going at the speed of a horse. You need to get off that horse. Amen. But whatever it is, its reach is unchallenged by any other medium. So if you can harness that, oh my days, if you can harness that, then you can get your ideas out all over the place. And here's the thing, I'm sure that I'm not the only one that understands that we're living in a world right now that is broken, that is hurting and that is fragmented. And it's hard to find something that will unite a lot of people at the same time. But the news and social media can do that. And if you can get around that, if you can dominate that, if you can control that, if you can control that format and you can get your agenda as dominant on that format, then you can mess up the spirit of the age. You can bring about a new zeitgeist in the age. And the thing is, when something that is informational establishes an emotional connection with people, then things begin to heat up. The kettle begins to get warmer and warmer, and the people of this age in this world that have no internal structure, they start boiling to death in the spirit of the age. This is what I think that things look like today. And I'm going to say what I think that things are going to look like going forward in the next step. But before we look at the future, I believe that there are things that we can learn from history. You know, you can't eradicate history, but you have to learn from it. Otherwise, you're going to be doomed to repeat it. But you know, the last time the world was in a pandemic season was 100 years ago. 100 years ago, exactly. From 1918 to 1920, there was what's called the Spanish flu, even though I believe it came from China, but it was called the Spanish flu. And it was actually worse, much worse than what we've been seeing today. Estimates of the final death toll ranged from anywhere from 17 million to 100 million deaths from this flu. Depending upon the assumptions of how they counted and people that were uncounted and all the rest of it. That's a heavy thing. That's huge. People were just dropping like flies in different places. And it went on for 2 years. And it was a time of hardship that had come after a season of World War. 4 years, from 1914 to 1918, there was World War I, the first Great War. They called it the Great War. Millions of people were killed in the Great War. And then boom, straight out of the back of war, they went into a pandemic. Now, I don't want to say that things are exactly the same now, but we've been in the War of Terror since 2001. People don't realize there's been wars in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Syria. Now there's wars in the Yemen. There's wars in Africa, in Nigeria. People don't speak about the genocide and all of the things that have been taking place. And then coming out of that, all of a sudden, boom, now we're in this pandemic season. And just like then, back then it was a time, through that season of reflection, you read some of the things that were written. It was a time of reflection. It was a time of lockdown. It was a time of thinking about important things. But how many of you know, some people can only think about important things for so long. People can only be cerebral about stuff for so long. What happened after this pandemic in the Spanish flu in 1920, what happened afterwards is very interesting. There came a point when many of the people had had enough of thinking and reflecting and being there and doing nice things. And they just wanted to feel something. They wanted to experience something different. They wanted to experience anything and everything. And it led into a rush into materialism and selfishness, and that time was known as the Roaring Twenties. It was the time when people were partying, and one of the great books that was written about that time was that thing that was made into a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, The Great Gatsby, when they're all there singing and dancing and looking good. And I love the way they dressed then, man, hallelujah, huh? I like the way they dress, but they was just going for it. You know, they tried to do away with alcohol in America, and there was all sorts of bootlegging, the rise of gangsterism. There was madness that took place, and people were just spending, and they were borrowing, and they were borrowing, and they were borrowing, and they were spending and spending and spending. And then right at the end of the 20s, there came the Great Depression. Everything crashed. All of a sudden, everything was wiped out. And that time was followed then by that time of Great Depression. And you know what happened from that Great Depression? Hitler rose. Hitler rose, a man of lawlessness, rose up. Are you starting to see some comparisons? Nazism rose up and started to try and dominate the rest of the world and society. And then there was followed the most destructive war that the world had ever seen, even greater than the one that preceded it. Heavy stuff, man. But people got caught up in a cultural phenomenon and it was pushed. There was agendas behind it. The rich got richer, the poor got poorer, and people rose up to dominate society. That idea of Geist or spirit that led to those extremes of reality was influenced by that ungodly spirit. And even though today is different, man, it's different. It's always going to be different. It's a little bit like what we're seeing and maybe what we're going to see. Because how many of you know, the day we're living in right now is a day of extremes. We're starting to see it. It's extremes. People don't want to settle for the status quo. All the talk about tolerance is a lie. Tolerance. No, it's a lie, man. People that talk about tolerance are the least tolerant people there are in the world. They're only tolerant while you agree with their extremism. If you don't agree with it, then you see how intolerant those tolerant people become. Hello? People are becoming more extreme today. Have you seen that? Society is being divided. People are being polarized. You look at politics, polarized. America is the test case. Look at it right now. You've got the Trumpers and the anti-Trumpers. In English, that sounds really funny. Hallelujah. But in America, it's a deadly serious thing. And that is having an effect. You've got the Marxists, the socialists, the liberals, the left, and the fundamentalists, the conservatives, the right. And people don't think that they fit into any category, but how many of you know that at some stage, everyone fits into one of the categories? And the power mongers are behind it by subtly pushing their agendas. And as the momentum builds, it becomes like a snowball rolling downhill. It starts small. It starts to build momentum. It starts to gather more things around it. And as it goes downhill, it gathers more and more. And as the momentum grows, the size of it grows until it becomes an almost unstoppable force. That's what we're seeing. It's heavy, huh? But I want to let you know that a well-placed rock in the path of a snowball can smash it to pieces. And I don't know about you, but the church is a rock. Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, the church in society right now is a rock that is withholding much of that spirit of lawlessness. It is the Holy Spirit inside you and inside me and inside his church that is holding at bay the full force of the spirit of lawlessness. And I'm going to let you know that is a powerful force. You are powerful. I want to let you know that, Christian. You are powerful. Your words carry weight. Your presence changes things. If you are a light bringer and a truth speaker, then you are powerful. This spirit of the age can be counteracted by that spirit that doesn't come from this world. And that's where we come in, the Church of Jesus Christ. See, what we have to tell people, what we have to know ourselves, and you've got to know this, is that what people think that they think they need to feel something, but what they really need is something not just to feel, but something that is real. There's a difference between that being sucked into the feeling stuff and then knowing that something is real. It's tangible, it's real. It has an effect. And the thing is, there's so much information out there, but which of it is real? What information's real? But once you know what is real, it changes things. When the Spirit of God becomes real to people, then the spirit of the age will be seen for how fake it is. When our Christian love is seen as being real, then all the selfish love don't cut it anymore. And here's the thing, Christians, stop arguing. Stop arguing on Facebook, on Instagram. Stop it. If you've got something against your brother, go to him. Speak to him personally. Don't put your agenda up on Facebook and start calling out your brothers and your sisters. What do you think the ungodly people that are watching it, eating popcorn, watching all the Christians fighting amongst each other, what do you think they're feeling? They're thinking, why would I bother with that? They'll cross the world to win an argument, but they haven't crossed the street to win me. When our Christian love, man, is seen for what it is, people will know that we're truly the disciples of the God of love. Then they're going to wake up and start to take notice, because that love covers sins. That love drives out fear. That love, man, it makes a difference. And then when your Christian witness has evidence of reality, that you ain't just talking the talk, but you walk in the walk. You're not just in some little lifestyle change that you came across when you came to the church, but you've had a life exchange. And the same spirit that rose Christ Jesus from the dead is living in you, man. That means that other people around you, dead people, can come alive. Oh, you got to help me out. I'm preaching to a camera. I'm preaching into your home. But I'm passionate about this. I don't need people around me to pump me up. I don't need that. If you need pumping up, then go to the petrol station, get the air hose, stick it up your nose and start breathing. Don't come to church to get pumped up. You come to church to get filled up with the Holy Ghost so that you can go out and you can be who it is that He says you are. Are you with me? There's no time like the present to start being real. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. The spirit of the age can be overturned. Selfishness and greed and rebellion and pride and seeking after pleasure only can be undone. But only Jesus can do it. Only Jesus can change the human heart. But it needs to be decided today. Today. Listen, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ today, then today repent, change your mind, turn away from your own ways, turn to Him and start following Him today. I challenge you to do it today. Don't wait. And if you are His follower today, start being more real than you've ever been before. Make a decision that you're not just going to be like that frog in the kettle, that you're not just going to go with what is taking place around you. Listen, if this church just went by what society said, we'd be finished by now. Because society said, government said, the experts said, science said, shut the church, we don't need you. Shut the church. You're going to be super spreaders. Close your doors and good luck. How many of you know? We listen to that. We're not unaware of that. We want to be part of the solution, but we're not just going to go according to that. We came in another spirit. We came with a spirit of innovation. We started going out and utilizing the same media, the same format that the spirit of the age is trying to utilize. And now you're seeing people tuning into church services like never before, phoning up and asking for prayer, going out to all the nations. Can someone help me out and say praise God for that? But we can overturn this stuff. But you have to start being real. Has any of you shared this to your friends? Does anyone tell? Do any of you tell your friends, come and check out my church? Be a real witness, man. Because listen, to everyone, one day the church is going to be gone from this world. I'm not talking about defeated. I'm not talking about locked out. I'm talking about gone, snatched up to meet with the Lord in the air. And then there will be no more spiritual rocks to break up those spiritual snowballs. So what do you think is going to happen then? The momentum is just going to get worse and worse and worse. Remember the scripture from earlier? For this spirit of lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Who do you think that is? That's the Spirit-filled church, man. That's the Holy Spirit in you and in me that is withholding, holding back a lot of this spirit of lawlessness, because we're holding on to the truth and we're doing our best to live it. One day in the future, all the behind the scenes, deep stuff, Luciferian, satanic agendas that people don't even want to realize, they don't even want to look at, they don't even want to think about, but are there. One day, all of that stuff is just going to be revealed and it's going to be in your face, and there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it, because the church won't be there to fight your battles. And then it's going to be too late. But until that happens, we have a key part to play. We have to counter the culture. We have to live opposite to the way that culture is. If culture is all about hate, then we got to be all about love. If culture is all about lies, then we got to be all about truth. If culture is about the Antichrist standing up against God, then we've got to stand for Christ and make it clear who we stand for, and not back down or bow down to the pressure and the oppression and the persecution. You know, the Christians are the most persecuted people group in the world. That's the spirit of lawlessness. If the world is divided, the church must be united. If the world around us is selfish and full of pride, then Christians shouldn't be like that. If the spirit of the age is ultimately destructive, then the spirit of God's church must be constructive. We've got to build up, and that's what we want to do. We want to build up. We want to build up black lives. We want to build up Asian lives. We want to build up white lives to be in God's life. We want to build up young lives and old lives, male lives and female lives, and every people, everyone that would start with the same opportunity, from the same starting point, with the same opportunity to go forward. And listen, we want Christians everywhere. We want you to be a Christian in the workplace. We want you to be a Christian politician. We want you to be a Christian doctor. We want you to be a Christian sports person. We want you to be a Christian journalist, Christian media presenter. Come on now. Because until the time when we're taken out of the way, there's some cultural snowballs we've got to smash. There's some cultures we have to counter. And I believe that God is raising up a people right now. He's raising up people in his church right now that have changed their wineskins. They're getting ready for that new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They're getting ready to be filled. They're flexible again. They're not tied down to old methods, but they're ready. They're willing to be used by God to reach into society, reach into a culture, and speak a message that they can hear and understand. And you can only do that with the new wine of the Holy Spirit. You can only do that with that pen. That Pentecost anointing, when they got up and they started to speak in other languages and other tongues, and all the people around them heard the gospel, heard the word of God in their own language. There's a people that's rising up right now. That might be you. I believe there are a lot of people right now that want the reality that only God can bring. They're unsure about what's happening in the world. They don't understand what's taking place. They're feeling the fear of all of that dangerous polarization, and they want truth. And I believe that a different type of momentum can begin to grow right now. One of a new hunger to seek God. And I believe, that we can see a great harvest of people's souls brought to life from death. brought out of darkness into light. I believe that we can see that, and that people can come in and make up that great cloud of witnesses that is in heaven. I believe that we can see that revival, that awakening. I believe that we can see it before the end. And God is behind that. The Spirit of God is behind that. And we're going to see the effects of that. I want you to close your eyes right now and pray. I want to pray. Can you sense the Holy Spirit? Can you sense Him tugging at your heart? Can you sense Him wanting to pour into you anew and afresh? You know, if you want to give your life to Jesus right now, just respond. Someone will pray with you. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Say, Jesus, take everything of me. And in return, give me everything of you. And if you already belong to Jesus, then today is the day to decide that you're going to make your stand against injustice, against the spirit of the age, against the agendas of the one that opposes Christ. Right now, close your eyes, lift up your hands. We're going to pray. I want to pray. I want to pray. It's no coincidence. This is Father's Day. Focus on the Father right now. And honor the Son. And then receive the Spirit. Father, we come before you in our homes. They're like little embassies, little lighthouses of truth and love in our neighborhoods. You've given us that opportunity. God, I pray we take it. God, I pray we won't miss it. God, I pray we won't come out of this season the same way we went in. But we'll come out better and deeper and wider and more filled with you. Because there's work to do and the time is short. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would fill every heart and every home with your presence. Oh God, I pray that you would fill every person that's listening to this and watching this with your love. I pray, God, that you would become so real. I pray you're going to speak into hearts. I pray the calling from heaven is upon people right now. I pray that there are people that are catching that new fresh wind of your Spirit. Oh God, that they're going to be the wave riders of this new fresh outpouring of your Spirit, oh God. I pray, Lord, that we are going to be the ones that you have called upon at this late hour to reach out in such a way that people are saved. Mighty God, mighty God. Come on, just praise Him right now. Just begin to worship Him right now. Spirit of God is wanting to fill you, hold you, help you, heal you, touch you, and He wants to release you and send you out into this culture to bring heaven to earth. You know, I'm going to close with that. That was the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You pray that right now? Come and lift up your hands and we're going to worship the Lord. God bless you today.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city and we are here for you. Go to vomanchester.org for more information.